bring in our next guest. You can find him on Twitter, AlexKennedyNBA. You can read him at Hoops Hype, covering the NBA. It is Alex Kennedy. Alex, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Alex, looking at the Jazz now, they won 11 of 15. They're playing well. They've lost a couple of games in the past couple of weeks that I think have Jazz fans scratching their head, including last night when they had a 20-point lead in the third quarter over Dallas. But now that we've had, you know, 50 games or so, we're almost to the All-Star break to kind of digest and diagnose these NBA teams. Do you think the Jazz are a team that can hold on to this top four seed in the West the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think so. You know, last night against Dallas, I've said throughout this entire season that the Mavericks are a very weird team. Some nights they look horrible, and then some nights they just show up and play very good basketball. It's really weird. Executives around the NBA have kind of been looking at the Mavericks and wondering, you know, are they going to sell off some of these veterans like Wes Matthews and Andrew Bogut and Deron Williams or what? Because it's just hard to tell what team's going to show up night to night. So, you know, that Utah is not the only team to have a strange loss versus Dallas, but I like what Utah has done this season. I think where they are in the standings right now is impressive, being number four. And honestly, you know, with as well as Houston has played, they're still a team that could be vulnerable to drop down in the standings because they rely on a number of guys that are injury prone. You know, it's worked out very well so far this season. You know, Ryan Anderson has been healthy. They really haven't had many major injuries they've had to deal with, but you just saw Eric Gordon have a minor injury recently. If guys like Gordon and Anderson, someone like Patrick Beverley who's been injured, if some of these guys start going down, then you could see Houston, you know, drop a few games, and then that's where Utah could not only maintain their four seed, but potentially climb up a bit further.
Alex, then looking at this Jazz team, as we're getting close to the trade deadline coming up on March 1st, do you expect any major changes? Have you heard any rumors about the Jazz trying to shore up a couple of their positions where they probably haven't performed as well at power forward or backup point guard as they'd expected?
Yeah, I think you know, backup point guard is an area that I think Utah could look at. A number of teams are looking at that. Obviously, Cleveland's made a lot of news lately talking about backup point guards, and you know, even Sheldon Mack has come up as an option for Cleveland. So that's really the big rumor that's been out there regarding the Jazz, that, you know, Sheldon Mack could be available, but that's not really big news. Utah is really, you know, kind of quiet. They keep things very close to the vest, and Dennis Lindsay does that intentionally, just like the Spurs do. He learned from the best. So the Jazz are one of those teams where if a move is going to happen, usually it comes, you know, as a surprise to everyone, and there's not really any leaking beforehand or things like that. I haven't heard much. You know, I'd be lying if I told you I did. You know, they certainly could look to improve their depth. I don't see any major moves. You know, they have a real nice core there. They're in good position. So any move they were to make would be, you know, tinkering or adding depth to a team that's already very talented.
Alex, for being someone that covers the league, you know, on a national scale, when you hear like a possible leak about the Jazz with a Sheldon Mack, do you put much stock into it, knowing that the Jazz history is to not leak much info when they do make a trade?
Yeah, it's a great question because leaks can come from so many places, and you always have to wonder who benefits from a leak. You know, sometimes it can be an agent that's trying to get their player traded to a certain market, or you know, increase their value. For example, you know, Serge Ibaka, there were some rumors about him lately, and there was one team mentioned that I know was leaked by his agent because Serge wants to be there. So you always have to kind of, you know, look at where the leak's coming from, who benefits from it, and why it's out there. The timing is always interesting. You know, sometimes the team will leak something out there if they're in negotiations with another team to try to, you know, gain some leverage and get more out of a team. So if you hear Utah being mentioned in a trade rumor and, you know, there's some kind of leak or anonymous source, typically it's coming from someone else that's either negotiating with Utah, an agent that has a player maybe involved in the talks, but it's very rarely coming from Utah. That's what I would say.
Alex Kennedy's our guest, 1320K fan. Unfortunate news over the last week. Jabari Parker, who obviously has a very close following here in the state of Utah, tears his ACL. He's going to be out for 12 months, so he's not going to get back until next All-Star break. And I would almost think, you know, he might be two seasons away before we see him back to this 20.6 rebound type of average. What do you make of his future? I mean, is he destined to be Brandon Roy, Grant Hill, Anthony Hardaway, or do you think he's a guy with his body type, he can come back and find a way to be productive?
Well, I sure hope he can. You know, I talked to him a few weeks ago. He was coming through Orlando, and we talked about you know, how well he was playing, how things were looking up for the Bucks, and, you know, how bright their future was. So to see this happen, it's just horrible for him and horrible for the Bucks. And he's the nicest guy, too. You know, obviously you don't want to see this happen to anyone, but when it's someone like that who is just so friendly and accessible and, you know, down to earth, it's really unfortunate. I hope that he can come back and be the same player. I think the fact that he's done it once, you know, he kind of knows what to expect and, you know, kind of understands the process. It is scary when you've done it more than one time, obviously. You know, we've seen that with other players where, you know, after it happened the second time, then they lose even more explosiveness or athleticism. But I think there is something to be said for, you know, understanding the process and knowing what has to be done to get back on the court. And this just may be a chance for him to, you know, change his game or alter his game. Sometimes when a guy gets injured and they rely on, you know, athleticism or, you know, explosiveness, then, you know, all of a sudden they switch their game up a little bit and suddenly they're more of a jump shooter or find different ways to attack. And he's already pretty versatile. So I think he should be okay. I'm really hoping we don't see his career come to an end early.
The Charles Oakley, James Dolan story is just another crazy chapter in the Knicks organization. Alex, have you been kind of surprised that, you know, not many of Charles Oakley's former players back in his glory days with the Knicks have came to bat for him and defended him in this whole ordeal?
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. You know, when Reggie Miller is the guy that kind of is coming up and defending him, kind of the biggest name guy so far from that era defending him, it's pretty surprising. Actually, a few minutes ago, before we did this interview, John Starks reached out to me on Twitter. So I'm not sure if he wants to talk or if he wants to say something about Oakley, but I'm going to be reaching out to him shortly. But yeah, it seems like all the current players are certainly behind Oakley, though. You know, we saw LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, you know, J.R. Smith, everyone, you know, that's kind of been associated with the Knicks in recent years, but is no longer there, or guys that have a, you know, big presence, a big voice in the league have really made it clear that they're behind Oakley. And I think the thing that really frustrated a lot of the players was that final line in the PR statement from the Knicks saying that they hope Oakley gets help. And today you had James Dolan saying, you know, maybe he has an alcohol problem. You can't just throw things out there like that. That's really irresponsible, and that's upset a lot of people.
Do you get the impression that the Knicks are going to stay under the watch of James Dolan for a while now, or is this a team with so much that has gone wrong that he might decide he wants to get out from underneath it?
Well, I can't imagine he would sell. I mean, I think he's someone that likes being in that position of power where, you know, he I think he likes having that team to kind of show off to some of his friends, and that's how a lot of these owners are, to be honest with you. You know, it's a toy that they can show off. It's like having, you know, a real nice car or a fleet of cars to show all your rich friends. You know, he loves sitting courtside. You know, obviously he's making money. NBA teams are worth a ton these days. Really, I think the owners that were going to sell and are, you know, motivated by money would have sold after the Clippers deal with Steve Ballmer, whenever they sold for over $1 billion. You know, that's when owners who were financially driven would have gotten out. So I think if he stayed in through that, I think he'll stay in for the long haul. So I don't think he's going anywhere, you know, unfortunately for Knicks fans.
Alex, we saw the Jazz just make a major commitment to keep the team in Salt Lake long term with Gail Miller, basically putting the team in a trust that means they're not going to be moving for several decades. Do you expect to see the NBA either expand or see a team move from one city to the other, and who would be some candidates in that situation?
Well, I don't think expansion is going to happen. You know, there were talks during the CBA negotiations and during the last lockout, actually, talks about expansion, and really they were shot down just because they didn't feel like that was a good option at this point. But I think relocation is more of a realistic thing. You know, I think Seattle is one of those markets that you know, desperately wants a team, and I think the NBA wants to put a team back there. Really, what happened with that whole Seattle mess, it really had a lot to do with the, you know, local government and people that were in charge at the time, and those people are no longer there, and they're no longer in charge, and, you know, David Stern's not, obviously, the commissioner of the NBA anymore. So I think you have Adam Silver and new leaders in Seattle that kind of want to mend fences. So if we do start, you know, looking at organizations that could relocate, I think Seattle's certainly a city that they'll look at.
You can find him on Twitter at AlexKennedyNBA. Rima Hoops Hype. Alex, really great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Take care.